Okay, thank you for coming. It's my first talk at KTP, and it's a great honor. And for this first talk, I chose most general subject, not the latest project, but most general, which is appropriate for the setting. So I'll be talking about clean two-dimensional electron gas interacting, okay? And it is placed in non-quantizing magnetic field. And my message is a very general problem. My message is I will demonstrate that due to interactions, sensitivity of this electron gas to non-quantizing magnetic field is strong and even singular. And I will build my case in three steps. In the first step, I demonstrate that weak non-quantizing magnetic field modifies in a peculiar way the dielectric function of 2D gas. Then I will show that the same physics that leads to this modification of dielectric function shows up in observables. And then finally I'll show how it manifests itself in DC and AC characteristics. So, as a reminder, let me show how beautiful was the physics of late 70s, like 30 years ago. And this is because understanding of zero bias anomaly was achieved, traced to a very simple physics that diffusively moving particles stay close to each other for a long time. And this enhances their interaction with each other. And they interact not ballistically, but in terms of diffusive motion. And this dynamical screening of interaction due to diffusive motion leads immediately to anomalous corrections to the density of states. These predictions work very nicely in experiments which were decisive in 82, because first zero bias anomaly was logarithmic, and logarithmic anomaly comes from Konda. So to rule, distinguish this anomaly from Konda, it was important to trace it as the thickness of the sample increases, because Konda is not sensitive to the thickness, and diffusion-induced correction is sensitive to the physics. And there was a beautiful experiment by Imri and Avadiahu showing that the shape of anomaly changes as you increase the thickness of the sample. That was a convincing argument. But anyway, as we move to 21st century, this beautiful physics becomes progressively irrelevant, because the mobility of the samples steadily increases. And diffusive description applies when temperature is much less than inverse scattering time. And as mobility increases, then this estimate for typical mobility, now 1 million, the inverse scattering time is 10 to the minus 3 electron volts. And then the temperature where this diffusive scenario sets in becomes very, very small. But unfortunately, the new development came that in ballistic regime at higher temperatures, when all impurities scatter independently, there are still singular corrections, temperature corrections to the conductivity, but the underlying physics was completely different. That each scatterer, individual scatterer, is a complex object representing scatterer itself and Friedel oscillation surrounding the scatterer. And it is the scattering of this complex object that leads to singular temperature dependence of conductivity. This mechanism can be traced back 30 years ago, but only in 21st century it was studied in tiniest detail, although under that underlying physics is the same. And the physics is that this Friedel oscillation shrinks rapidly with temperature. And then the allowance for angle where enhanced backscattering happens becomes more and more relaxed. And this effect manifests itself in this linear correction. So now if we become even more philosophical and say, what is the underlying reason of Friedel oscillations? It is a cone anomaly in dielectric function. Okay? Cone anomaly in dielectric function when, and this is the picture of Friedel oscillations in scale, they fall as 1 over distance square, and they are smeared with temperature and rapidly shrink. That causes the singularity in conductivity. And speaking of anomaly in cone anomaly in dielectric function, this dielectric function was calculated by Frank Stern 40-something years ago, and a polarization operator in a clean two-dimensional electron gas has a very simple behavior. It is constant between momenta from zero to twice the Fermi momenta, and then falls off and as one of the momentum square. And there is a singularity in at momentum to kF. But for our purposes, it is even more convenient to consider not the singularity itself, but the derivative of polarization operator near to this 2kF. Then this constant part is gone, right? And we have zero here, and square root divergence near the 2kF. This square root divergence is sufficient. This behavior of polarization operator near 2kF is sufficient to establish the form of potential due to Friedel oscillation. You don't need polarization operator, you can express it through derivative. Okay, and then this estimate gives you one of the distance square. That's how Friedel oscillation falls off with distance, right? And then we will ask a very natural question. What happens to this Friedel oscillation in non-quantizing magnetic field? So first we should define non-quantizing magnetic field, which can be done in three different ways. First, we can say that cyclotron energy is much smaller than Fermi energy. Or we can say that magnetic length is much bigger than de Broglie wavelength. Or we can say that Larmor radius is much bigger than magnetic length. Fortunately, all three definitions are equal to each other. Okay? And then we ask this very general question. We have this Kona anomaly in the electric function. What happens in non-quantizing magnetic field? We expect the smearing of the Kona anomaly, for sure, because momentum in magnetic field is not a good quantum number. And let me show how this smearing takes place. And before I go to physics, let me show you the result, which was completely unexpected to us. So you have this zero divergence to the right. So we expected the rounding of the anomaly. And instead, as we calculated its shape, this is divergent. As we calculated the shape, it turned out like this. It is indeed cut off for momenta bigger than 2kF. But for momenta smaller than 2kF, it falls off very slowly. And on top of that, is as 1/√, and the top of that, it shows very peculiar aperiodic oscillations. Okay, I will build everything around this observation. Everything around this observation, it's quite new, although problem is purely academic, but nobody paid attention. And also important, what is the characteristic period, although it's aperiodic, what's characteristic period of these oscillations? And this characteristic period, or characteristic wave vector, is singular function of magnetic field. And important is that this spatial scale is in between the de Broglie wavelength. So it's much bigger than de Broglie wavelength, but much smaller than the Larmor radius. So semi-classical description applies perfectly, and magnetic field can be considered weak, but there is a scale right in between. And we have all advantages of weak magnetic field, but it's also semi-classical description. So we can analyze this anomaly. And since it's crucial for all my later presentation, I will derive it qualitatively. Together with this, derive it qualitatively together with this scale. And the crucial step to understand this anomaly when it unravels, it becomes real simple, is to transfer from momentum space to coordinate space. Right? You can do it in momentum coordinate space, but in coordinate space, it has a much more transparent interpretation. It is the product of amplitudes of going from point R1, R2, and back. Okay? For example, to get Friedel oscillations, normal Friedel oscillations, that's trivial, becomes trivial from here, because this amplitude is e to the I Fermi momentum times R, and amplitude going back is again e to the Fermi momentum times R. And so this semi-classical trajectory is a straight line going from here to here and back, right? And that's we immediately recover Friedel oscillations. Now, what happens in magnetic field? And we know semi-classical description applies to, so in magnetic field, this amplitude of going from R1, R2 become E times action along the classical trajectory. right? And the amplitude of going from 2 to 1 is e to the action along classical trajectory. It's only that due to curving of classical trajectories, they become arcs of the circle. It's classical motion in magnetic field. Okay? And so there are two effects going on, as we see from here. First, there is an elongation of classical trajectory, right? The second effect, which acts in the opposite direction, that now this round trip path from R1 to R2 and from R2 back contains a finite area, right? So there is a Aronoff bomb flux piercing this area, okay? Two effects fight against each other, come with opposite sign, and actually Aronoff bomb contribution is twice the contribution of elongation, okay? But we should not do anything. We can calculate the additional phase from geometrical relations. So this is the center of Larmor orbit, right? This is arc and this is chord. And all we need, all singularities, a lot of them will come in future, they can be traced to the fact that the difference of length of arc minus the length of chord is length of chord to the third power. Or x minus sine x is x to the third power. This is the essence of all we'll be talking about, okay? And so with this simple geometrical relation, we can can calculate elongation of trajectory, express it through the length of the chord. We can calculate the area and pierce it with magnetic flux, again express through the end length of the chord, right? And these two fight each other, and all results in this additional phase, which is cubic in distance. Okay? And then the new scale, which I announced at the previous slide, is simply interpreted as the scale at which this additional phase is of the order of pi. Okay? Hi, Liki. So, fine. So, we already solved the problem, and I can tell you a little bit simply to brag that this derivative which I calculated qualitatively can expressed academically through IRE function and through complementary to IRE function, which is simply for salesmanship purposes. But we can now incorporate additional phase into our presentation of polarization operator, go to Q presentation, and we see that depending on whether this Q is bigger to 2kF or smaller than 2kF, this integral either has saddle point and then results in oscillations, or does not have saddle point and then it results in decay. So in our presentation we derived this quite easily. Fine. This is so dielectric function in non-quantizing magnetic field. Now the question is, what happens to this dielectric function as temperature is increased? What people know, expect, and are used to that everything in a magnetic field decays like this with temperature. So as characteristic temperature increases, it exceeds cyclotron energy, all oscillations are gone. But not those, because those oscillations come from distances much smaller than the Larmor radius, which means that they survive at temperatures much higher than cyclotron energy. And when all these conventional oscillations are already smeared, dead, right? These oscillations survive, and this I plot polarization operator at this one energy, and at then at one temperature, and then at higher temperature, they fall off slow. And the characteristic energy scale is not cyclotron frequency, but much higher. It is Fermi energy times cyclotron square and to the power 1/3. That makes them high temperature oscillations. And also, we remember that characteristic energy is singular in magnetic field to the power 2/3. Okay, and this again comes from x minus sin x is x to the 3rd. Okay, and if you are not satisfied with my hand waving explanation, I will flash the result of rigorous derivation when we work only in the momentum space. And we start from standard formula, textbook formula for polarization operator. These are Fermi functions, these are squares of matrix elements. And we use the asymptote of Laguerre polynomial near 2kF. That's fine. And then we measure Landau levels, which become irrelevant later because the scale is much bigger than omega c. We measure these Landau levels from the Fermi level, and then we get this exact. Use this exact identity. Yeah? Exact identity, which, very easy to derive. And then, if we perform summation, we get the polarization operator in more generalized form at Fermi at temperature finite. I derived at zero, we get at temperature finite, and zero temperature it reproduces our qualitative result. At high temperature it shows gradual decay of these oscillations at scales temperature much bigger than omega c. You see, and this is first part of my talk, very straightforward, and what I say, it's hard to believe that in 40 years of study nobody addressed this problem before us. And that's not true. Again, pay attention on this formula, because before us, actually, the effort goes back, first effort goes back to 68 and then 69, and the same person that struggled with this problem in 69, we found out he continues to struggle with this problem in 2004. And this is
also, that was a contributing factor.
Sorry? Yes. No. This is a graduate student of Schwinger. This was his PhD, and then his next retirement, and still into this problem. Yeah, problem. But if we look carefully, that's what was the obstacle. He summation over Landau levels. That was problem he could not overcome. Okay. Then our at the end of my first part. This is how Friedel oscillations are modified in non-quantizing magnetic field. It is too simple scientific effort, but magnetic field makes it aperiodic. Aperiodic, and this formula works for distances certainly much smaller than Larmor radius. Yeah, and this is this causes fantastic excitement unless you get a bit smarter, because now we will take all the developments with Friedel oscillation and substitute these Friedel oscillations and get a huge sensitivity to magnetic field through Friedel oscillations becoming non-periodic, right? It seemed so straightforward, and you can appreciate the degree of disappointment when we proceeded along this way. So the first characteristic, very fundamental of two-dimensional electron gas, is the lifetime of electrons, energy epsilon above of the Fermi level, right? It is given, it was addressed many times, and all arguments were about prefactor here. Prefactor here was wrong, and then there was experiment, and to fit it, people recalculated experiment. Prefactor here, it's like this, yeah? This factor, omega square, is very robust. It comes from phase space. Phase space for electron to excite a pair. It's omega square. We cannot touch it with any modification. But this guy, specifics for 2D, comes from matrix element. And specifics of 1D, 2D case, this contribution, although logarithmic, it comes from the small scattering angles. Small scattering angles are close to the straight line. And one half comes from momentum transfer, very small. One half comes from momentum transfer close to 2kF. There are two equal contributions. Oh, when it comes from 2kF, we expected that these will be modified in magnetic field, will get strong sensitivity. But we did not. And the reason is obvious from the first correction to first order diagram for this lifetime. First order diagram for this lifetime contains polarization operator. This contains extra phase, right? But to recalculate it to the observable, we need to close in our space. We have to close these ends. And this adds another two Green functions. So we have, in fact, four Green functions. Each of them has phase, and they cancel each other. Yeah? One additional phase and other additional phase. If we want slow term, they simply cancel each other. And this was a major disappointment, and not suicidal, but we were very, very upset unless we moved, decided to still look at the next order correction. And next order correction, which we did not hope for much, because next order correction contains two polarization operators and the same ends. So in effect, it contains three green functions. Each six green functions. And one polarization operator has additional phase. Another has additional phase. And the third one have additional phase. And if this additional phase was linear in distance, they would cancel each other the same way they cancel for two, right? But as you might recall, this additional phase is cubic in distance, okay? And this correction describes the process of going like this, like this, like this, like this, and like this, right? It's kind of three loops. So this loop contains additional phase from 0 to R1. This contains additional phase from 0 to R2. But this contains additional phase between R1 and R2. Okay? And
ask you about this diagram. You take the measuring point of self-energy, so somewhere you count through real final states. So what's your final state? Is it plasmon or it's Lichtenhall pair?
Lichtenhall pair.
So where do you cut it? Where do you cut this diagram to get the Lichtenhall pair as a finite state?
Doesn't have to be cut.
Well, which of these two bubbles you count through? Which of the two bubbles you cut through to get the final state of the bubble?
I don't cut to it. It is an in coordinate space.
No, I'm looking at the diagram itself.
Yes.
Which one you cut through to get the non-cancellation of the phase?
Again?
I wonder how you get the non-cancellation of the phases if you cut through the bubble.
I don't cut through the bubble. It's in our space.
That's not in your
methods. No. No, I don't exactly evaluate this diagram. What I connect this end to the point R. That's what I do. Okay. And I restore certainly second order correction to electron gas without magnetic field in this R presentation. But again, look at the core. You have a polarization operator 0R, 1, 0R2, and R1R2. And this difference, because of being cubic in distance, does not go away. It's because R1 plus R2 to the third power minus R1 to the third power minus R2 to the third power is not zero. Yeah. It contains this cross term. And this is, as this emerged, that was everything unraveled and everything became clear. Everything became clear. So we get from here estimate for energy order of characteristic energy. We estimate and find the correction to magnetic field correction to the lifetime is magnetic field to the one third. It's singular to magnetic field. And from now on, we kind of cash in. And we will go to in different direction. This is very thought. A lot of thinking came into this slide view graph. And no. It's not. But what I want you to say that this is a famous painting, And it shows three, in American say, macho men. Three macho men, and there is common that they are macho men, yeah? But if you look, each of them has its separate message. Each of them, this, and this, they are, if you look, they are macho men, but they're very different, very different. And that's what what I wanted to emphasize, that you can go at least in three different directions, repeat the same arguments, the same constructions that I did, but there is a very, different results and different specifics in these cases. Okay, and we'll start. And that's why we wrote so many papers on the subject. It's not reproducing one, it's all, they are not the same. So I'll start from zero bias anomaly, right? Zero bias anomaly in ballistic regime. I told about zero bias anomaly in diffusive regime, but then it carries over to ballistic regime too. And this is, the underlying physics is absolutely the same. The underlying physics is the scattering of electron from the complex object consisting of a scatterer and surrounding Friedel oscillation, right? And it is actually similar to diagram for lifetime, except for one interaction line is replaced by impurity scattering, right? And calculation of correction to the density of state behaves as to the Green function behaves as one of a distance square, and integration over 2D space gives you logarithmic correction. So as if the diffusive bias anomaly simply survives in ballistic regime, right? Same logarithm. Okay, so do we want to modify it? Yeah, we are now comfortable how to modify it in magnetic field, right? First, we know that simply making this polarization operator magnetic field dependent does not do the job. These two ends will cancel additional phase. Okay, so we will go to second order, in which you have 24 relevant diagrams, 24 ways of non-trivially put an impurity line again instead of interaction line. And they are divided by 12 identical of one type, 12 identical to other type, four identical of the third part, third type, and the contribution of these, all these are the same. These are the same, but their relative contributions are not exactly the same. This laborious derivation still reduces mostly to trigonometric steps. You in R space, only in R space, you write this Green function, then you perform average over over orientations, right? Then they will convert to the Bessel function. That you take long distance asymptote of the Bessel function, and then the job starts. You convey products into sums, products of trigonometric functions into sums, and look for slow changing terms which don't contain cosine 2kf1. and extract these germs. That's this laborious process. But first of all, don't get too bored. A little bit, wait, stay with me. Entertainment will emerge soon. So first of all, the structure is obvious, because this comes, one of a lifetime comes from scatter. Then it's second order in interaction. This is obvious. This is also obvious factor, because this is angular restriction on directions of momenta. Always appears in calculations all of higher orders. That that's all corrections to self energy comes from the process along the straight line, basically with a small allowance like this, right? And then comes a boring dimensionless function, of bias divided by this characteristic energy which we established in the first part of the talk, right? Boring function defined as double integral, and this function, again, all essence that this this trigonometric part contains a rather non-trivial combination R1 R plus R2 times R1 R2. Right? And boring, I stress boring, but it becomes not boring at all as we plotted it. It appears that this boring function is actually oscillating function. And this was a real surprise for us to see this oscillating function. And only looking at it, we came up with qualitative understanding that helped a lot. That in this, what is this function again? It is a correction, magnetic field correction to the density of state. So you have density of states, you switch on magnetic field, you subtract the moment field equals zero part, right? And study the change. And the change becomes an oscillatory function of bias. And the reason is, if you look into this strange phase, it favors two scattering events to the left and to the right from impurity taking place at same distance, to the left and to the right. This is, again, this is specifics of this combination. If you integrate cosine of this additional phase, you see that R1 minus R2 assumes small values. Yeah, because it's quadratic in distance, R1 and R2. So the correction comes from this three scattering process, which impurity, one electron-electron interaction, other, and they happen at a distance symmetric with respect to impurity. Oh, that's, that's a distinctive prediction, I hope.
Is the focal density of states at the impurity, or it's
no
correction which is proportional?
No.
To the density of impurities.
Yes, it's proportional to the density of impurities. 1/tau.
If you measure at one point, would there be much stronger oscillations, and then only after you average out you get this effect, or is it more than?
Sorry?
So this is the average density of state.
Yeah? Yes.
So now you would make a tunneling experiment, I would see this one part of the sample.
It will be enhanced.
And so would you see much stronger oscillation?
Yes.
And then after
yes.
you average out, you get
this. Where is it the strongest? At the position of impurity, or you have to find some distance from the impurity where it's going.
Let's raise this question in the end, because by the end we will be so mature. Maybe you answer yourself, because there is an additional scale in energy, then is additional scale in distance. This magnetic field induced additional scale in energy, right? It translates an additional scale in distance. So, for distances above this special scale, it will be strong and oscillating. At distances smaller, then it's smaller than this magnetic field, the curvature-induced characteristic distance, it will saturate. Fine. No, good question, very reasonable. Let's get mature. And then a question asked, why? Why magnetic field? Why magnetic field? We need only the curving of electron trajectories, right? What magnetic field is done? The message is powerful. Magnetic field curves trajectories. Why not electric field? Electric field is not good because DC electric field causes current, right? But if there are, even in perfect high mobility samples, if there are local density fluctuations, which are always present, and in high mobility samples, the price of high mobility, that local density changes along the plane. And if it changes along the plane, it means Fermi momentum changes. It means trajectory of electrons are curved, right? Curved a little bit. And this gradient of density is equivalent to electric field. And then in high mobility, non-scatter, there are no point scatterers, but in electron gas, trajectory of electron is a piece of parabola. And then a piece of parabola, and then why all my previous reasoning applies. All my previous reasoning applies. So now, except for in electric field, going from here to here and back, electric field does not bring any Aronoff-Bohm phase. Does not bring. This was in magnetic field, going here and here and like this. Right? In electric field, it will be going here, here, and like this. Right? But turns out that expressions for additional phase are exactly the same. And the reason is there is no Aronoff-Bohm contribution. But the fact that moving along parabola changes the velocity, it not only elongates the trajectory as in magnetic field, but also changes the velocity. And this effect acts exactly, overtakes the elongation. So correction in electric field becomes very similar to correction in magnetic field. Both are R cubed, both are with sign minus. Okay. And then we can repeat our theory. Now we are so mature, we can go fast. We can repeat our calculation for this case. When green function is semi-classical green function it has cubic corrections in that phase, right? Can repeat, and these are all eight diagrams that contribute to the density. Again, they are a little bit different, but only with science. Then number of fermionic loops are different. And anyway, now comes maybe my highest point of my talk. Anyway, we can recalculate the characteristic scale coming from electric field. And you see, it is It is generated of average gradient of concentration. Instead of magnetic field, the characteristic scale comes from average gradient of concentration. And the same, we can go back to previous formula and like this establish the magnitude of this contribution again through average gradient square. Gradient square of concentration, right? That's straightforward. But there is no impurity of calculation. So now smooth disorder and electric field enter through the phases of green functions of polarization operators only. Before it was one impurity. But the calculations are absolutely the same. And let me show the result. Let me show the result. Moreover, the calculations absolutely the same, and we get the phase proportional to local electric field square. As before. But now we are in the random system. We have to average over various distribution of this random electric field. And now comes something. Under cosine, we have electric field square. Right? If we had some function, linear, MF, average it with Gauss, we get exponential suppression. But if we have cosine x square, and average it with Gauss, then we have only power law suppression. Yeah, that's I can tell this, like this, but it is obvious fact. Linear cosine, you can promote it to the exponent, take Gaussian average, you get exponential suppression. Cosine x square, you can elevate it to the exponent, take the same Gaussian integral, you get only power law suppression. Okay? And what is the result? The result is, I won't believe it if it was not my result. So, average density of states, average correction to the density of states, still contains damped but oscillation. I'm telling not much, there's oscillations, and these oscillations further at smaller scale, yeah? They are damped.
Zero temperature.
Sorry?
Zero temperature.
They are damped, right? But the magnitude and the scale of these oscillations are set by disorder. The period of oscillations, it was like the period, the period of oscillation is expressed through the average magnitude of disorder. It never happened before that you have electron gas, you introduce variations, you bring in disorder, you measure averaged density of states, and its oscillating character, although they decay, still survives with period and magnitude dictated by the average the strength of disorder and in the characteristic period of disorder. Sounds very crazy, but there I show you the reasons for that. Okay, and this is the highest point of my presentation. I can go back and bore you, repeat it for AC, and you can now do it for me. You can see that there are these are Drude conductivity. These are standard harmonics of cyclotron resonance. But with this new scale and new physics coming, there are new oscillations coming from only electron-electron interactions. And I was so hot to find them in experimental data, that oscillations of function of frequency. I was so hot to find them in experimental data, but the reason that in microwave zero resistance experiment they use photon 3 Kelvin, and for magnetic field being relevant here, it should be 15 Kelvin, so that characteristic magnetic field will be reasonable. And still, I end my talk with some bragging, simple bragging that I don't know what I don't know. I mean, that's a theory, but at least I take credit that it stimulated experimental studies. Still, experimental studies in two groups, but they combined it in one preprint. So they measured a lot of samples, silicon, and a lot of gallium arsenide samples. Unfortunately, due to locations of this group, the mobility are real low. And still, when they read the paper, and we extended the theory to DC magnetic resistance, when they read this paper, they, and what we predict, because that instead of, at temperatures when all magnetic oscillations are gone, the resistivity of electron gas is still sensitive to magnetic field. That's because our effect comes as the distance much smaller than Larmor radius. Yeah, and first, and this is a magnetic resistance as a function of magnetic field in gallium arsenide. So you see this Fredel Shubnikov de Haas oscillations, and low temperature it's so characteristic behavior in low temperature. It's so characteristic behavior shown, for example, by your body, my body, and this is how magnetic resistance behaves, and as temperature increases, all oscillations go to the right. It's flat, right? And then nobody looked what happens at higher temperature. Nobody looked what happens in high, because they're flat, they're dead already, right? So after reading our preprint, they said, look at the data, maybe we will watch what happens at higher temperature. And it turns out that at higher temperature, this is this very, the very peculiar growth which is consistent with our predictions, and effect is the picture is blown up, so the magnitude of effect is small. It would not be distinguishable on this scale, right? So you should go when all weak localization peak is gone, right? Look at this plateau and then elevate temperature and look with higher resolution. But you see this, if you want me to brag historically, that I was pointed out, but we see this high temperature peak. This published data after our paper appeared, I got noticed. No. Look, as weak localization goes down, there is something going on. But then they read and then they started to zoom on this something. Zoom on this something and uncovered this kind of behavior on gallium arsenide, this kind of behavior on silicon. Unfortunately, all our attempt to got American groups interested, because they're all measuring the his effects and whatever graphene something whatever the good old physics is illegitimate nowadays. Thank you for your attention.
To answer the question, but nevertheless, what sense about the magnetic field scale of this maximum here in the experiment?
Sorry?
There's maximum at a certain magnetic field here.
Yes.
What sets this scale B naught?
Yes, so this scale. In our theory, this scale comes from recalculating of conductivity tensor to resistivity tensor. It's a standard, that's...
What sets this?
No, omega c tau equal to 1. That's the peak according to theory.
At omega c tau equal to 1?
Yes. No. At omega c, Let me be more specific. This is the point omega, standard point omega c tau equal to 1. This is result of recalculating conductivity tensor into resistivity tensor. Right? And that's a standard, you invert tensor. And as a, there should not be any temperature dependence. There is no temperature dependence here, right? But in experiment in gallium arsenide, this was a position of a peak, and that's okay. But in silicon, it moves with temperature. And so, that's bad news. Unless you look what is Fermi energy in this silicon, it's much smaller. And then this scattering time becomes strong function of temperature. Why? There is a simple answer to this question. I can look it up. I never asked myself to specify one temperature of the order close to Fermi energy, why it becomes a strong function of temperature.
So you're saying that 40K is already Fermi energy?
Sorry?
40K is already something like
Fermi
temperature.
Yeah, in silicon. Not in gallium arsenide. No, in metal insulator transition samples that show metal insulator transition in silicon, the Fermi energy is small.
I still missed the main message here. So I thought that your prediction is, so what is your prediction of these experimental data? Is this peak or?
Linear behavior here for conductivity.
Linear
magnetic resistance for conductivity. Then we calculate it into resistivity.
What was the peak which you were?
No. We calculate it into resistivity, and this recalculation. This recalculation terminates the linear dependence, turns it into peak.
I have another question. So in 2D, there are also analytic effects coming from the Zeeman effect, so that the sustainability gets non-energy corrections.
Right.
And so what? That's a different story.
No, but they delayed the publication to check the parallel field does not affect it. They did this check. They applied a parallel magnetic field to exclude spin.
So my question was, when you compare these non-energicity, yours to these which are coming from the,
Yes, exactly. If G factor was huge, if the effector was huge, we can come up with host of effects, because the electron can excite electron hole pair with different spin. Right. Right, and I can, and after my talk you can, and this is all so, and we can consider double layer system, and we consider thermopower, which is sensitive to magnetic field. That's I thought, who needs these reflectors fast, please? That's the source, but. My postdoc went all, and I feel it indecent to continue along this line, because it's like a machine in supermarket produces it. Thank you.